talking about A Man Sought After. That's the title, A Man Sought After. And this is part two of that. And maybe when I'm done, I may have a cool little folder with all this information in it. I started putting together a map, and I gave Sal just a copy of just a blank map. But if you can see what I have, it's a bunch of scribble. I couldn't actually find what I was looking for in the right format, and so I may end up just creating one, because there's some things I want to put in it that most of the maps have stuff that I don't really want in it, and they have a lot of information I'm not really after, and so even this one, really, I only need the bottom part of it, but they gave me the full map, so I got to do some chopping and cutting and a little bit of work on it, but we'll get there. It just kind of, as I was going through this, it kind of hit me, and I kind of was curious as to, you know, the journeys of David and kind of where he went and how he kind of moved. And the Bible mentions a number of different places he was, and being able to kind of locate where they are and that type of stuff. So we may get to the map. I'm not sure. We may not. If we do, I'll yell at Sal. He's on the ready, and I'll say, "Hey, Sal, give me a map." And there might be a couple pictures if we get to it. We'll see where we end up. I just know I've got a lot here. I think totally so far I'm up to 28 pages. Now this part I've only got about 16 or 18. So we'll just go, and I'll watch the time, and when it gets to about a reasonable spot, we'll stop, and we'll just keep picking it up and plugging away. I'm enjoying studying it, and that's always a dangerous thing for you all. So just enjoying the story and kind of looking at some of the background information into it and kind of what made this man David, this man that sought after. And that's really where we're talking about. He's a man sought after. So let's just get into it, because last week as we walked down, and we've really been walking around David's wilderness period. That's kind of the area we're focusing right now. We're not really going to get into his kingship until a little bit later. We're really just focusing on this wilderness period. It's about an 8-year stretch if you count the time that he stayed in Philistine country, that Saul didn't look for him. So you're looking at about an 8-year period where we're looking at right now. And so last week we kind of looked at this period. We started seeing that he was, and I started showing you that he was a man that was sought after. He was a man sought after. And it became obvious that King Saul was seeking for his life. We also read the passage that God told Saul that he sought for a man after, that he sought for a man who was after his own heart. So it's clear that God sought after David. And we also continue to see that David was a man who sought after as well. So David sought after God. So we see these three different ways this kind of working, and we're going to kind of even go a little bit farther than that. We saw that, you know, David sought after God. We're going to continue to see that today as we walk down this wilderness period. And if I just give us a quick recap, because I know it was a week ago, I'm just giving us a quick recap. Last week it was that we saw that Saul, that's always tough to say, saw that Saul had David's house being watched. Remember that? He had his house being watched. And he was going to kill him in the morning, but David makes that daring escape out of the window of his home. But we also saw that it was there that he wrote Psalms 59. We also found that David went to the king of Gath. His faith was... I love my spelling. I spelled weak, W-E-E-K. So I know you get a kick out of that when you see my all my spelling and punctuations. It's awful. He had his faith, not his faith weak. He didn't have a week of faith. His faith was weak, W-E-A-K. Okay, it wasn't very strong. And he began to act as though he was crazy. He then went to the cave of I kept putting Adullam. It's actually Adullam. It's A-D-U-L-L-A-M, but I have Adullam. It's Adullam, and is joined by 400 men there in Adullam. And it's here that he pens Psalms 56 and most probably Psalms 57. Now, this is where we're going to pick up the story again. Okay, David is now hiding in the cave. He's not sure what to do. He's not sure where to go. He has his family with him. He has 400 men with him who the Bible says were in distress, were in debt, or were discontented. Okay, he had an unhappy group, a group that needed to pay their bills, and a group that was in trouble. That's not a very fun group to be around, but that was who was with David. These men came, and I want you to understand this. These 400 men came and found David. They sought after David. Okay, they found him. He didn't go looking for them. Somehow, in the midst of his fleeing, he had become a captain over a band of men. Okay, but hiding in this place was not where David was supposed to be. Here he is, hiding in the cave of Adullam. That's not where he was supposed to be. He wasn't supposed to be in the hold. He wasn't supposed to be in these strongholds. And so David gets a word from the prophet. Okay, now, I find it interesting that, and we talked about this, I think, briefly last week, that David here is trying to hide his family. Okay, no doubt they're going to be in danger. No doubt they're in trouble that, you know, that the king, King Saul, is going to try to kill them if he gets a chance. And so David wants to hide them, and so where does he turn? He turns to the Moabites. Okay, why? Because his great-grandmother was a Moabite. I think he kind of felt there was some sort of a tie there. Last week as we walked down, I duplicated my page. What's interesting about this is because David's great-grandmother's a Moabite. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, this is where we're going to start. And David went thence from Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father, I gotta stop for 1 second. That Mizpah there is not the Mizpah of Israel. There is a Mizpah in Israel. That's not it. Okay, it's Mizpah. The Bible is very clear that it's Mizpah of Moab, and it's the only time the verse is mentioned. A lot of people want to say that it's a place, that it was the capital of the Moabites. I personally don't think so, because that would have been a pretty long journey to get there around the Dead Sea. I personally believe it was, he went somewhere close to the border, wherever the Moabites had reached to at that point. That's just my own personal thing, but I'll just throw that out there. David went from thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him. I want you to notice this, all the while that David was in the hold. So I want you to get this picture that David's in the hold in Adullam. Okay? He recognized, I can't leave my father and mother in the cave. Right, I can't have them sitting there held up in a cave. It's damp. It's dark. I'm running for my life. If the king catches me, I don't want them to get my parents. Right, I don't want my family. And so he takes his parents to Mizpah of the Moab, of Moabites. Okay, it would have been some city that was controlled by the Moabites, because David does not want his parents running around like chased rabbits. Okay, through the countrysides, and you know. And he has reason enough to believe that the Moabites will give them refuge. And so David, I picture it this way. Sal, if you want to go ahead and throw that map up there, if you can, I'll kind of show it real quick. That is actually the desert of, there we go. That was the Judah wilderness. We'll get to that maybe. All right, if we would, let me lower this down so you can see it now. I'll kind of point this out. Okay, he is right here in Adullam. Okay, the Moabite country is over here. Okay, it would have been, and this was Amalek and the Amorites, this was Edom. Okay, the Moabite country would have been somewhere in this vicinity. Some people believe that he went all the way over here to Kir Hareseth. I personally don't believe that. I more prescribe he was here. He went somewhere outside of the area of Adullam, maybe in right here at the bottom of the Dead Sea. And there, when he gets to the edge where he can give his parents safely over into the land of Moab, he would have done that. And then he returns back into this Adullam area. Okay? Now, you have to understand. Go ahead, Sal. We'll go ahead and pull up these three pictures. I want you to see these pictures. Um This would have been what the Judean wilderness would have looked like. Okay? It was a pretty rugged terrain. It was not a lot of water in this particular part of the Judean wilderness, very much like a desert. It would have been a great place to hide, a great place to run. Now, if you go to the wilderness of Ziph, I want you to kind of see a contrast here, and we're going to see this in the Bible as well. This would have been more the wilderness of Ziph, kind of more of a treed area, okay, with more forest, even a little bit better area to hide. And then we'll get into En-Gedi at another point, but En-Gedi's kind of cool. It was kind of a place known for springs. It was closer to the Dead Sea and all of that. So that kind of gives us an idea of where he was, okay? Most of his journey took place in what we know as the Judean wilderness. It covered a lot of area, okay? The Judean wilderness went from east of Jerusalem. It went all the way down beside the Dead Sea, almost to the bottom of the Dead Sea. And I kind of have it circled. Maybe at some point I'll give you a good map with all this, but I kind of have it circled, this area. And you kind of see the red area there. That's actually the land of Judah. That would have been Judah's, more of Judah's area. But it would have been kind of the bottom half of that would have been the Judea wilderness. It was very much rugged terrain. And most of, like, you're going to get into Ziph, we're going to get into Keilah, we're going to get into En-Gedi, all these places that are mentioned, Abdullah, they're all part of this Judean wilderness, okay? They're just different places along the way in the Judean wilderness. This was a wilderness area, okay? And this is where David spent the majority of his running. But I want you to notice what David did. He went and took his parents, took them to Moab, okay, to the land of Moab. What he did was took them outside of the land of Judah. Okay, I want you to get that. He took them outside of the land of Judah. And watch what the prophet says to them in verse 5, 1 Samuel 22, verse 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, and get thee into the land of Judah. He says, don't stay outside of this land of Judah. Don't stay outside of this area. Get back into the land of Judah. Because the prophet said, get out of the hold and into the land of Judah. Okay? Then David, I want you to notice, then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Okay? It's another area inside this wilderness area known as the wilderness of Judea. Okay? So, what I want to show us here is this shows you the heart of David. What is David? A man sought after, right? It becomes obvious right here that David honored the prophets. He honored the priests because the prophet said, David, get out of the hold. Get back into the land of Judah. Now, if I'm David, go ahead, Sal, give me the map again. I want to point something out. This is always dangerous. I'll use a stick. All right. Right here would have been the capital during the reign of King Saul. Okay? Now, David had run. Here's Abdullah. Okay, here's En-Gedi. If he came down here, if he came into the land of Moab, where do you think David is going to be safest from King Saul? The farthest distance he can get, right? I mean, that's just common knowledge. You know, the farther I get away from King Saul, the better I am. So if he makes his way down into here, he's a good distance from King Saul. But the prophet told him, get out of the hold, get back into the wilderness of Judea. Get back into Judea, which actually puts David closer to Saul. I mean, I'm driving Sal crazy. I'm going to give you that pointer whether you like it or not. I need my exercise. There we go. Oh, there I can play with the... All right, so... I'll quit playing. All right, so... So if you're David, I mean, thinking militarily or thinking strategically about running away from somebody, the object is to get as far away from the person that's chasing you. So the farthest place away would have been down around the Moab area. But the prophet Gad said, get back into Judah. Now, David obviously honors the prophet because David obeyed what the prophet said. The prophet said, go back to Judah. David went back to Judah. Now, a thought really hits me on this because I could really talk about it here, that the hold that David thought was his protection would have actually been his destruction. If he would have stayed in whatever hold that was, what he thought would have been his protection would have actually been what took him in. It would have been to his demise or destruction if he stays in the hold. The prophet said, get out of the hold and get into the land that's familiar to you. The land that David would have been most familiar with was the land of Judah. That's where he was from. He was of the tribe of Judah. He took his sheep through the wilderness. He took his sheep into the countrysides. He knew this area if he knew any area. Also, I would like to say that Judah means praise. Get out of the hold, get into praise. But we won't go totally there. But he says, get out of the hold, get into praise. It's here that while he is in the wilderness of Judah that David... Well, I want you to see what David does. Psalms chapter 63. Here he is. He's in the wilderness. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as the marrow and the fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of the wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, and they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David, while in the wilderness of Judah, writes a psalm. It's here in chapter 22 that two things take place. One, Saul finds out where David is, and David learns that Doeg had told that he had visited the priests and that he had taken Goliath's sword. And so this Doeg tells King Saul, because Saul is accusing everybody of turning their backs on him, and Doeg says exactly what happened, and Saul calls Ahimelech and says, come, and he's like, look, I didn't know. Remember, David did what he did deceitfully. David went to the priest, not on the up and up. He said, I was sent here by Saul. The priest didn't understand. The priest didn't know. They did that without knowing what David was doing. And now the priest pay the price for David's sin. I want you to catch that. Sin has a price. It will get paid. The priests were killed because David lied. They didn't know. They thought he was doing an errand for Saul because that's what David said. And so they gave him bread. They gave him a sword. And now Saul says, you guys are conspiring against me. And 85 priests and their families die. They all are killed at the hand of this Doeg. Only one escaped. His name was Abiathar, who came to David. So what does David do? What do you think David does? David writes a psalm. In Psalm chapter 52, to the chief musician Maskil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. I want you to notice that is in the that was an inscription that David wrote. He marked this psalm. And this is what he says. Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and thy lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, thou deceitful tongue. You think David's thinking about lying? Oh, it says, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, is the man that made not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. He says, yes, this may have happened, and it may seem like others have won, but he says, I am like a green olive tree in the house, Lord. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. And this is what he says, and I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. It is at the end of chapter 22 of Samuel that Abiathar stays with David. I think this is rather interesting because David now has the prophet Gad speaking into his life. David also has Abiathar, a priest, literally with him at all times. He can call on Abiathar at a moment's notice. Abiathar actually is getting his safety from Saul. What happened? Abiathar sought out Saul, or sought out David. Abiathar went and found David. David was a man sought after. Abiathar said, well, I'm not safe here anymore. They're killing all the priests. There's only one place I'm safe. That's with David. And so he runs to David, and David becomes his protector the rest of his time. David's running for his own life, but now he's protecting the priest. And it's a very dangerous thing, a man that sought after God who has a priest right there, that at any time, at any place, he can ask the priest, hey, ask God for me. Hey, I need an answer here. I need to know something. And there's the priest right there to offer up something for him. You're going to find this goes in many times. So David has Gad the prophet speaking in his life. He has the priest with him every day. He's not only a man sought after, but he is a man that sought after. And now we're in chapter 23. Now this is slightly puzzling. If you follow the story at all, it's slightly puzzling because the Philistines are attacking the children of Israel. The Philistines are attacking Israel. They're attacking Saul. This only goes to show you the loyalty of David. Watch 1 Samuel 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah. That's in the wilderness area. And they rob the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Put yourself in David's situation. Saul has been chasing you down time and time again. He's lied to you over and over and over again. He's done nothing but been deceitful for you, and he still wants to kill you. The Philistines are attacking his land. Put yourself in Saul's shoes or in David's shoes. What are you going to do? If Saul wants to fight him, let Saul fight him. If Saul's chasing me down, why do I want to do him a favor, right? Why do I want to go fight against these Philistines? It ain't going to profit me. I'm only going to help Saul by doing this. And Saul has done nothing. We've been in this situation before. You've been put in a situation like this before where somebody has mistreated you and mistreated you and mistreated you and mistreated you. And you have the opportunity now to do good unto them. What is our attitude in that? Our attitude from our fleshly side is, well, let them just deal with it. I ain't helping them. But the godly way and the way that pleases God, God said, go do it. He says, God, do you want me to go? Should I go fight this battle? And God says, go. So what's David do? David goes. See, we like to offer, heap those things back. Remember, what's God say? Vengeance is mine. He says, vengeance is mine. It's not, it wasn't David's. It wasn't David to seek vengeance. David says, I'm going to continue to do what's right, regardless of what's happening to me, regardless of what people are doing to me, regardless, I may be running for my life right now, but I'm still going to do what's right. And so David goes to Keilah. Here it goes. And David's men said, and behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come unto Keilah against the armies of Philistines? I want you to catch that. David goes to his men. He inquires of the Lord first, right? He says, should I go? And God says, go. So David goes and tells his men. And they're like, hold on a second. We're afraid now. And you want to put us there? I don't think so. And so David, I like this, David goes back to God again. Watch verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord again. Like, hey, God, look, I know you said yes. They're afraid. Do you really want me to do this? And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Remember, those are the same Philistines that David was afraid of when he was in Gath. Oh, by the way, I didn't bring this part out. And I'll hit this. You know that Cave Adullam would have only been a couple miles away from where he fought Goliath? Here he is hiding for his life, and he was just a few miles away from the place of his greatest victory. Just throw that out there. Watch verse. And so here it is. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now, this is going to go to show you just how delusional Saul had become. Because I want you to see what he says. Watch 1 Samuel 23, verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. Now, you would think Saul was like, thank you, David. You just fought my battle for me. And Saul said, God. I want you to remember, this is the one that God said, I've rejected you. I want no part of you. And Saul becomes so delusional that he says, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by the entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul calls all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. What was he doing? He planned on, besieging is simply surrounding them. So he planned on surrounding the city and slowly closing in on him, keeping David inside until the city delivers David to them. Remember, he was a man who was sought after, but he was also a man who sought after. So here he is, about to be surrounded by Saul. No chance of escape, no way out of this place. And what does David do? 1 Samuel 29 or 23, verse 9. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. And then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? In other words, will these people protect me? I've just saved their life. Will they protect me? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? And the Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Such a friendly group, huh? David just saved their hides, and they're ready to turn him in. See, he wouldn't have got that thinking through man's wisdom. Man's wisdom would have said, you know, I just protected these people. They're going to stand by my side. We're going to be able to withstand. We're going to be able to withhold. But God knew the secrets of their hearts. God knew the hearts of the people inside Keilah. And God gave David a word of wisdom that let him understand those men, their hearts are not with you yet. Their hearts are not for you. They're going to turn you in. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. David finds out, you know what? They're going to deliver me up. What's he do? Let's scatter and go. Let's run in a bunch. They just took off however they could to get out of there, and they get away. Now remember, I want you to remember this, and I want to look at this for 1 second. When David left the palace of Saul in chapter 19, and he left his house in chapter 19, he was only a small band of men. He was a small enough group that five small loaves of bread from the priest's house could feed them. That was how small of a group they were. Five loaves of bread could feed them. Now, we're not talking about Jesus and the five loaves, you know, where he's going to multiply and feed 5,000. We're talking about a small group of men. By chapter 22, David's group, remember we see when he's in Adullam, there's 400 men. He grew from a small band to now he's 400 men. And here in chapter 23, it says he is 600 men. It becomes apparent that David is a man sought after. That men were defecting from Saul and slowly and surely trickling over to the side of David. And David wasn't doing nothing but running for his life. He was doing what God said. He was obeying the voice of God. He was seeking God with his heart. He was doing what God wanted him. All the while, he is running through a wilderness, being chased like a rabbit. But he's not the only one who sought after David. Because 1 Samuel chapter 23 lets us know where David fled to. He went to a place called the Woods of Ziph. And here, someone else seeks after David. This passage is so amazing. One, it shows this man's character. Talking about the man who sought after David. It shows his character, but two, it shows how God used him to strengthen the heart of David, this man, during a very difficult trial. Once again, we see and we know why these two were such good friends, why their hearts were so knitted together. Watch 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14. This is so cool. And David abode in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him. I want you to notice this. Saul sought him every day. Every day Saul was looking for him. Saul sought after David every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. But watch. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. So he was in some sort of a wooded area. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Guess who sought after David? None other than Jonathan. Here was someone else now seeking. Now think of this 1 second. Stop for 1 second. Saul sought for him every day and couldn't find him. But Jonathan goes right to him. Something's amazing there. How David is hiding from Saul. I just wonder if Jonathan all along knew David's whereabouts at every stop. And he wasn't sharing with Saul where he was at. He let Saul wander to and fro. He might have gave Saul bad directions from time to time. He might have helped David escape from time to time. It becomes very obvious that Jonathan knew exactly where to find David. But Saul searched everywhere and couldn't find him. Because God would not deliver him. He's in the most difficult trial of his life. And God says, it's not over, David. Oh, it may be tough, but I'm still protecting you. It's amazing how in our difficult trials, God's still protecting us. He's still watching over us. He's still doing more than we don't even realize it. I'm sure David is scared to death. God not only is protecting him, but he sends Jonathan for a reason. The Bible says Jonathan strengthened his hand in God. It became a time when David could gain a little bit of strength. Watch what he says to him. Verse 17, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. My dad won't find you. You will be king. The sad part here is Jonathan says, and I will be next to you. And that also my father knows. Saul knew Jonathan loved David. There's a part of me that wishes that somehow Jonathan could have stayed alive. I wish God could have spared Jonathan. I know God made a promise to Saul and that, you know, he was going to be completely cut off, and Jonathan had to pay the price for Saul's disobedience. But I would have loved to have seen Jonathan and David as a tandem there. I know the Bible doesn't do that. It's just my own personal thing, you know. It's my own. The two, the Bible says, made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. To think, Jonathan sought him out. He sought him out only to give him an encouraging word. He went to him just so he could tell him, just so they could make a covenant, just so they could strengthen each other in the Lord. No wonder their hearts were knit together. No wonder they both had hearts. The Bible says David was a heart, had a heart after God. I believe Jonathan had a heart after God. Oh boy. It's crazy, and I'll stop here because we're going to get into a story that's going to take a little while. We're going to talk about the Ziphites next, and it's rather interesting, and it's got some rather twists to it. But we're going to stop here with David meeting Jonathan, and next week we're gonna pick up with the Ziphites, and I'll probably add some more to this lesson, and we'll be at like 56 pages by the time I'm done, but it's all right. So we're going to stop here. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, I know, Lord, that even in our wilderness times, our difficult times, our struggles in our life, Lord, we know that you're with us. God, your hand is always with us. It's always protecting us. It's, Lord, you're guiding us even when it seems as though everything is against us, even when it seems though everything is not right and things are wrong and it just life seems to be falling apart. God, I know, Lord, that your hand is with us. I know, God, that you're leading us and you're helping us. And